And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Open training yesterday, guys. It was really good. It was lots of fun.
It was lots of fun. Lots of kids there, lots of face painting, lots of activities. Obviously, the main thing was the players out there on the ground going through there. It was an early week training session.
Yeah.
So pretty light session. But the cool thing was the players afterwards, we were able to catch up with a few of them.
Yeah, including, you may know, the man whose song is Tequila when he kicks a goal.
Yes, and famously when he was on fire one day at GMHBA Stadium, all the mums were together and his mum had a little shot of tequila every time he kicked a goal and heard this song. But it was a big night for this man, Shannon Neal, and his mum had a great old night.
I love it.
All right, let's bring you that chat now that we had with Shannon Neal yesterday at Open Training.
Hey mate, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how was training out there? Was it just a bit of fun? It's not like a proper training, is it?
No. We'll train properly on Wednesday and get what we need to done there. But it's good to have all the kids and parents and partners down there at the end there. But it was just a light run today. But it was a good turnout. Fans were here, and it's hard not to smile when you see all that. So it's great.
You seem to be taking everything in your stride. Amazingly, you played 44, 45 games, I think roughly it is. You're just adapting to finals footy so well. How are you adapting to the week, to the craziness? I know it's early, but you'll have a grand final parade ahead of you. You'll have crowds like this hovering around. How's the feel with that adaption?
It's an interesting one, Lingy. 2022 was a great year. I had sort of no expectation to play. I sort of knew where the team was, and those fringe players and like Sam Manigola, Brandon Parfitt, those guys are sort of the ones that if anything were to happen, they'd come in. So I sort of knew my place at the time there, and I sort of enjoyed it just being a part of grand final week as an AFL listed player, whereas you're sort of not on the other side of the fence necessarily, but you're sort of I'm not a guaranteed to play. I never see that week to week. I'm always just trying to put my best foot forward. But I'm going to enjoy it on a different perspective this year. And what a week to be a part of.
I can guarantee you're going to play this week. Let me do that one.
He's got the crystal ball. Tequila is your song. Everyone knows that. Your mum especially. How's your mum feeling ahead of this weekend's game? Is she going to have a couple of tequilas, you reckon?
I think depending on how the game goes, if we walk away winners, I'm sure she'll have a few tequilas regardless of how many I kick. It's a good little sort of tradition to have. It's something we laugh about as a family and a family friendship group. And the boys sort of get around it as well. It's a good part of footy is you have these sort of quirks against players and where they originate from. It's all different stories. So it's something that's it's quite good to have.
How many tickets have you had to get for this week?
Being from WA, it's probably a bit easier than the guys that are from Melbourne or Geelong especially. I think I've got about 10 tickets. I'm sourcing one for my sister at the moment. She's got she was a late addition to the party, but we'll get her there. And I've got my parents, my partner, I've got my best mate, his parents, and a couple of my mates are flying to Adelaide and then driving across. So they're the sorts of the sorts of boys that want to make the adventure worthwhile. So they're coming over, which will be good to have them.
All right, do you have any superstitions, anything you're going to do particularly on game day?
Geez, I hate to call myself superstitious, but there's a few things I do like to do, but I'll not have to change them. But I'll stay in Melbourne Friday night before the game. So I usually go to Irigazi on Packington Street the night before a game, but they're closed considering it's a public holiday.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that I'm not avoiding it or not having it when they're open. They're closed, so I'd have to figure out something else anyway.
So, sure.
There's a few other things, but they're sort of just like routine. I'll try and stick to it as best I can.
So not the same jocks from 2022 or anything?
Same Gatorade budgies, actually, for the last couple of years. So that's all right. We'll make sure we pack those.
Yeah, nice.
Good luck. Enjoy the day.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
You look around your kitchen, you see a bottle of Durif, you're probably the people that I'm talking to, because Aldi Australia has some good wines.
Did I get it? I guessed it.
Definitely.
I'm so sorry.
Don't say sorry. You are on the
content.
Money, my friend.
Okay, yeah.
No, you didn't. This is so good because Aldi Australia have been heralded.
heralded?
Yeah.
By wine aficionados. Okay. Several of their bargain drops were just recognised at this prestigious award ceremony.
Yep.
Good and one of the wines clocks in at under $5 a bottle. Brilliant. You wouldn't read about
Brilliant.
It now.
Love it.
You wouldn't read about it. You can't get eggs for less than $5.
No.
But you can get an award-winning bottle of wine. Now, this was the recent Melbourne International Wine Competition.
Okay.
And so it sounds good enough for me.
Yeah.
And a number of their wines at Aldi got awards from the double gold, gold, silver and bronze categories.
Great.
Now, we're living in a cost of living crisis, okay? And I know, generally, if you get a cheap bottle of red, you'll kind of be okay. But cheap bottles of white that are good are really hard to find.
Okay, I'm not a white guy.
You're not a white guy.
Drinker. I don't, so I wouldn't
know.
What
wine do you go into? Like more fruity reds? Are you more a fruity red, like a Pinot?
Yeah, I don't mind a Pinot. What do I like?
Shiraz, Cabin.
No, keep saying things. Other ones. Tempranillo. No, there's another one that I haven't drunk wine for a long time.
Merlot.
I got right into red for a while through COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And then sort of realised.
All of us did.
Yes. It's probably not the best thing, so I dialed back. Yeah.
We're drinking three bottles of wine a night. We've got to stop that. Yeah, yeah. But look, if you want to get back into that, Aldi Australia is the place to go. They got. And this is not a paid presentation, but I just love knowing this stuff, right? And I thought other people would too. 18 awards for wines they received. That's very cool. And each and every one of those wines, they're under $14 a bottle.
Amazing.
Right? So there's a whole bunch of really good ones, and I want to take you on a bit of a world journey.
Okay.
So first off, I want to start. They've got the double gold. So let's just go straight to the top, right? Let's not worry about all the other ones because we'll get confused or whatever. Yeah. But the major double gold winners are the Corte Crista delle Venzi Pinot Grigio. So that's this vibe.
Yeah.
You know, $9.99 a bottle.
Oh, mate. Incredible.
Oh, that's cool, right?
Yeah, we
move on to the Blackstone Paddock Shiraz, which I feel like a Paddock Shiraz has more of this vibe, and it's, you know?
Touch of the Casey Barnes to it.
Yeah. $12.99 a bottle.
Yeah, okay.
Let's sit on the porch, drop our pants and have a wine.
Whittle away.
What? And the other double gold winner, coming in at $8.99 a bottle, is the El Toro Macho Bobal Tempranillo.
I've had it before, I know.
Reserva.
Well. It's got a bull on the label.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
I don't like saying Tempranillo.
It's a weird word.
My mouth can't get around it. But if your mouth wants to get around three double gold winning categories, Aldi is the place to go. Once again, not a paid presentation, but I just feel like all of us need a leg up when it comes to good wine sold cheap.
Absolutely. We do. Sangiovese. That's the one. That's what I like. Sangiovese. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. Going to Brisbane, Chermside West to be precise.
Yum.
Where Craigslee Kindergarten and Preschool are in a bit of a tussle at the moment.
Mm.
Making headlines, and this has been going on for a couple of days now. I haven't had a chance to bring it to the table. So essentially what's going on is they are about 40, 45 grand in debt.
The actual childcare centre.
The childcare centre.
Okay.
Now, they're affiliated to a chain, but they are an independent, and they're managed by volunteer management committees made up of parents and guardians.
Right.
Okay, and there's one guy that's in charge, essentially.
Yeah.
And then there's committees that work underneath him. And then they've got staff that they pay, right? Mm. But they're a bit behind on paying those staff members.
Oh.
All right.
Not so good.
They're in a bit of a sticky situation. And
why are they behind and in debt?
Doesn't actually say. I think
because the way they run their business.
Yeah, committees are pretty usually traditionally quite smooth process to sort of in terms of managing organisations, that type of thing. So anyway, so they need to raise at least $40,314 owing to teachers. And they thought...
Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah. Here's, you know, yeah, here's the thing. We're paying our fees. We're still 40 shy.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Your child has been doing lots of artwork this year in the, you know, the months and at the actual kindergarten. We've been putting it all in a portfolio. Now, if you would like us to release that portfolio to you, you need to pay us $2,200 each. For each child. So you've got two kids and that's $4,400 to get your kids' artwork.
On top of what they already pay in fees. Yeah, so it's not people who are late to pay their fees, you know.
No.
Some people do the wrong thing and don't pay up what they're owed.
Yeah.
This is above and beyond that.
Yeah.
So they're not saying you have to pay or you don't get the artwork, which seems like they're saying you have to pay for the privilege of these finger paints.
No, well, they are. So they're essentially saying, yeah, you have to pay. Yeah, you don't. It's not you have to pay your fees or you don't get the artwork. It's you have to pay $2,200 or you don't get the artwork. We won't release
artwork.
It. One mum got so annoyed that she just took it. She took the portfolio home.
Good on her.
And the guy who runs it called the police and reported a break and enter.
Really?
Oh, stop
yeah.
it. Okay, well, that's you're a businessman, Lingy. Like, Tom and I don't know how to run a business, but you do. That seems like not...
I don't see that as a highly sustainable business model.
Threatening,
yeah. So so when you started talking,
yeah.
I assumed there were some delinquent payments, as in school fees, nope. childcare fees, and they were then saying, hey, bring your account up to scratch and then we'll release you out. And I'm like, hey, that's not a bad tactic.
Yeah.
Because, come on, a business needs to run. It needs its fees. But if this is above and beyond
above.
That.
Have a sausage sizzle.
They're holding hostage
yeah.
these wonderful paintings, which I'm sure will be works of art.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
2002.
Crazy.
2002. No one's paying that. Obviously, right?
The guy that runs it said, the portfolios were created by teachers of artwork from the students and analysis by the teachers was intellectual property of the association.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. Oh, someone please take this company down.
If they made it fun and said, hey, we've got a shortfall, we're looking for donations, if you could donate $50 or $100 and we're going to hold your kids' artwork, but hey, if you donate it, we're going to release it as a fun, like, little thing, a minimal amount, sure. Then that's a creative fundraising idea.
Yeah.
But $2,200 or else because it's intellectual property, that is one of the most absurd things I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, my
wow.
God. Yeah, that's... Nah.
It's still less than you'd pay for a week of childcare, though.
Yeah.
The way it is at the moment, Jim.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
The Brownlow Medal was on last night. All the glitz and glamour up there at Crown, at the Palladium there. The red carpet bit of action there. Zach Merritt spoke.
He spoke so beautifully, didn't he? I was actually really proud because... You know, the questions getting thrown at him were quite hard, but he was just very honest and basically said, I'm embarrassed about how it's all turned out and I'm kind of ashamed in regards to the Essendon fans as well.
Yeah, so it was good to hear him speak like that because it has been a messy couple of weeks for him. Bailey Smith, obviously, walking the red cup was always going to be fascinating. I did see one post that it looked like he was wearing Speed Dealer sunnies.
Yeah, they definitely are. They definitely are.
Like, I never know with that is like, is it real or is he taking the piss? Like, I don't know.
Is
like,
it ironic?
He was, is it ironically wearing them?
He was wearing them in the room at one stage.
Yes.
In the darkened room. And even my kids said, it's not that bright in there, Dad. I'm like, no, that might be for...
And
a bit of attention.
Oh, and he did take his martial arts instructor along as his date.
Jiu-jitsu
instructor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu is the one where you wrestle them like a turtle, yeah?
I don't know. Ask Giselle.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Giselle, drive one.
They also, last night, before I get to the Brownlow Medal, crowned the Rising Star winner, which Murphy Reid from Fremantle, but Connor O'Sullivan, Cat's very own, came fifth, which was a fantastic achievement.
We caught up with him yesterday, so we'll have that chat later in the week.
Ah, fantastic, yes. Goal of the year was Noah Anderson. Mark of the year was Sam Darcy. But, of course, all eyes were on the Brownlow Medal. medal in the count. The favourites going in was Nick Dacos, Jordan Dawson was a big chance, Bailey Smith was a big chance, a couple of Gold Coast Suns players were a big chance, but the winner was Matty Rao from the Gold Coast Suns, which was fantastic for him.
Was there much chat about that beforehand? Because I don't remember anyone mentioning... Him as a chance.
He was in the. Oh, he's a bit of a chance, but not one of the real favourites. He was just racking up three votes left, right, and centre. So first four games of the year, three vote. Was on fire. A couple of games. Rounds 4, 7, and 9 are being. Didn't get a coach's vote in any of those three games.
Yeah.
But ended up with best on grounds in all three of them.
Okay.
So 9 votes from those. Just had a few people going, oh, hang on, what's happening here? But they still thought Nick Dacos was a chance to come from behind, but then Rao just kept getting votes. He won with 39 votes over Nick Dacos with 32. How's this for Nick, by the way? Over the last three seasons, 98 total votes. So an average of roughly 33 votes per year.
Yeah.
That tally would have won Nick Dacos all but 6 of the Brownlow medals in history.
Wow.
And he has still got, unfortunately, 0 Brownlow to his name.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So a little bit of a couple of crazy decisions.
Yeah.
But... the biggest one of the whole night. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was the Melbourne St Kilda round 20 game. It's the game where Nazaia Wanganeen-Miller kicked the last 2 goals of the game to pinch the game out of nowhere. Phenomenal finish. And people were talking about his game as though it was one of the greatest performances you have ever seen. 34 disposals, 4 goals, complete domination. So far, best on ground. It is not even funny. But the umpires did not agree.
St Kilda, Melbourne. Melbourne, C. Petrarca, 1 vote. St Kilda, N. Wanganeen-Miller, 2 votes. Melbourne, J. Viney, 3 votes.
The whole crowd erupted.
Yeah. And that honestly never happens. You when you're there at the night, you might roll your eyes a little bit at a, oh, hang on, that guy. But you show respect to that person who was getting 3 votes instead.
Yeah.
It was Jack Viney from Melbourne, as we just heard. The Melbourne players on their table were laughing and going,
they were pissing
what?
Themselves. Yeah.
That was an abomination. And and I'm glad everyone in the room actually kicked up a fuss, because it should be, on a serious note, embarrassing to the umpires who gave the votes that game.
Did Viney have a good game?
Solid, yeah. He might have been probably Melbourne's first or second best player. But I'm talking about a game where we, as us crazy footy fans like I am, are talking about Wanganeen-Miller's game up there with some of the greatest performances ever.
Wow.
It was best on ground, and then it was like 4 days of daylight before the second best player on the ground.
Yeah.
And they stuffed it up royally.
So what's the solution?
I don't know if there's a great one, because every year we get to this point, we think there should be a panel of so-called experts, a set, maybe 5-person panel who has to go to every single game and vote on the game. It's independent, all that sort of stuff. But I don't know if anyone could agree on who those people would be. So we end up with the umpires who, majority of the time, don't know really what they're talking about. They get a lot wrong.
I wouldn't have said that, Tom.
Oh, I certainly didn't.
Well, I certainly did, because it's a hard enough game to umpire and officiate.
Yeah.
There's 4 of them on the field, and they get confused as hell with each other and make really bad decisions sometimes.
Oh.
They don't know who's best on ground all the games.
A whole career of holding back saying what he wants to say about umpires.
Yeah, okay. Let him
and on. Now just let that freak flag fly,
I'm going to get one of the umpires on Friday leading up to the grand final, just to talk about what it's like to umpire a grand final. But I want to talk Brownlow with that person how you end up with a situation where Wanganeen-Miller does not get best on ground.
All right, I'm going to cut you off there just for now.
No.
Okay.
I've got more to say. Okay. Let me lose, Tommy. Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au. Ma, what's your
dad's name? Trevor or
This is the game we play where we guess your mum or your dad's name. We get to ask one question each and then we have a go.
And we don't want any clues or help because then the win won't taste as sweet. Isn't that right, Chris from Ocean Grove?
That's right.
Chris, he's had a talking to because he said, I think I might be able to help you out.
Oh, no.
And I said, no, 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 no.
Very good. I won't give any hints.
We appreciate the offer, Chris. Thank you very much. We're going to each ask a question, then we're going to have a guess. We're just going to nail this one. All right, Chris. I'm going to lead off here. Chris, did Mum, back in the day, ever rock a perm?
Ooh, good great question.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Pam.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
That Chris, narrows it down.
Chris, Mum, does she love horror movies or hate horror movies?
Nah, hates horror movies.
Okay.
All right, Chris, if Mum's taking something out of the oven, does she have special oven mitts or is she just a grab a couple of tea towels kind of gal?
Good one.
Thanks, mate.
No, she has specially probably even hand crocheted stuff that she would have for that.
Okay, I've got a name. So we've got here, Rock to Perm, hates horror movies, and also crocheted oven mitts herself.
Which makes her name Beryl. Is that right, Chris?
No.
What about...
No, unfortunately not.
I'm in a similar vein sound-wise.
Yeah.
Narelle.
Chris?
Building the suspense, Chris. Love it.
All right. Now, this might be a controversial guess, Chris, but is your mum's name Chris?
No, unfortunately not.
That would have been
wild.
What
is it? It would have been so good.
What are we talking?
Mum's name is Shirley.
Shirley! Oh, it was right there.
Shirley and Beryl, it's sort of the same.
All right,
I was almost going to say, Lingy, you were on the right track.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
All right. It's always a fun game, even when it doesn't end well, but we've got a second bite at the cherry.
We do. Kane from Newcombe's on the line. Morning, Kane.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're going to guess Mum's name.
Go for it.
All right, Tommy, you lead us off this time.
All right. In a similar vein to my question for Chris about his mum.
So as in the same question?
No, not the same question. Similar. Does Mum always have a box of tissues, or is she more of a just grab a bit of toilet paper to blow your nose kind of gal?
He's definitely a box of tissues, Mum.
Okay.
Okay.
Kano, does Mum, is it back in the day maybe, but even a little bit now, is Mum like always turn that music down, like get the noise out of the house, or is it let's crank that thing up, I love this song?
Well, Mum's a bit of a turn that up.
Yes! Cranks up. Okay. Now, Kane, no spoilers at all, right? I don't want any spoilers, but is your mum's name the type that can easily be turned into a nickname?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, God, okay. That's made it hard now.
No, I've got mine. You do?
Okay.
Okay.
Come on, Tommy.
So we've got here, Tissue Box.
Yep.
Loves to crank up the tunes. Great name for a nickname. Go for it, Tom.
Is your mum's name Jackie?
The Bell.
Oh.
I'll do the sound effects.
Good guess.
Okay. Kano, is mum's name Sharon, a.k.a. Shazza?
Ooh, close.
Oh. Is your mum's name, Kane, Marlene, a.k.a. Marzi?
No.
He just said Sharon was close. You should have gone on that.
What is the nickname Marzi?
Yeah, I mean, we know a Marlene called Marzi.
Exactly. So get off
She's been messaging her this morning, so I think that's sort of skewed. So I would have gone with Sharon. Would you have gone maybe Cheryl? Or
I don't care what you would have gone with, Thomas. Okay. You had your guess.
There's a bit of fighting going on here, Kano. Kane. Settle this for us. What's mum's name?
Fight him up. Mum's name, Susie.
All right.
Shazza?
Very close.
Yeah. Are you gonna back off now, Tom? Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Kay. We'll hook you up with a prize as well. We'll play again next Tuesday.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on KROQ 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold.
We're here at the Open Training Session. Connor O'Sullivan has been kind enough to join us. You're about to run out in the MCG for the Cats wearing number 14 on the back. That must be pretty special to have that number in particular and be on grand final day.
Yeah, it's obviously very surreal. I mean, I don't think I've really grasped how big it actually is, but I think for me, yeah, it's obviously, I'm very grateful to have such an amazing opportunity, and I think it's just about a few of the players have just spoken about really enjoying this week and taking every moment and really soaking it in, but getting ready, and then at the end of the day it's just another game day on Saturday. So yeah, there's a bit of a to and fro as to whether you get excited, but also just enjoy being a normal footy week.
Very early on in your career, it's a very successful career so far. Are you just assuming that this is what football is?
I think you're definitely right. I think I might be putting some false expectations on the future with how I've gone in the first year. So yeah, I think I'm very grateful to be at such an amazing footy club, and not to say that you walk into a footy club and are lucky enough to get the opportunities off the bat, but obviously the continued success that Geelong seems to have, I feel very fortunate that I've been given the opportunity to come here. And obviously coming here last year and watching the prelim from the sidelines, and 12 months on being able to potentially play in the AFL grand final is pretty surreal, and I don't think I'm really realised how great it really is yet.
Now, is there any truth to the rumour that grand final day before you play you have to pray to the shrine of Cameron Lang and make a sacrifice? Because we've heard that can happen.
Well, I think Osh and Mez might be making a few tagging shrine prayers, so I think there'll be a little bit of that going on. So we'll see how we go, but I haven't heard of it, but I'm sure I'll be filled in on it during the week.
Can you just clear one thing up for these two peanuts that I have to work with each morning? They think, as part of the academy here at the Cats, that the job is, I get all of you young guys out to wash my car every single week. Can you just clear that out? That doesn't happen.
Yeah, that is definitely true. We have a dartboard punishment, and it's a car wash for Lingy. So,
and interiors as well,
yeah,
right?
It's a full clean interior, exterior. So, obviously, we have also got an amazing academy led by Big Lingy. It's named after him. So it encapsulates all the values that we believe Geelong people are about. And obviously, Lingy led that. So, he's got a very nice little academy name there for him.
You'd rather spin up the car wash than the sponge bath, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I'll probably prefer neither, to be honest.
Brent, well, good luck on the weekend. Really appreciate your time. Have fun for the week.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys. Cheers. Thanks.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.